Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hey, 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 everyone. Hello. How are you? Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm being silly. Today is silly day. Welcome back to sisterhood. Thank you for being here. When I worked in the corporate world, pre-contagiously positive days is what I call it now. I used to go into the office. I worked for one company for a decade. So I felt really comfortable with the coworkers that I worked with because there wasn't a ton of turnover, especially at the beginning when I first started working at the company. And so I was really comfortable just being my silly self with my coworkers. And I used to go in, and when I went in, I would come around the reception desk and I would just belt out, "Good morning," and I would walk into my office, and that would be how I started off everyone's day. And sometimes I would get like a eye roll, but I guarantee they liked it. And what was funny about that too, I remember anytime I didn't do it, it would always be like, "What's wrong? Are you in a bad mood? Did something happen?" And be like, "No, I just decided today I wouldn't walk in and scream at the top of my lungs, 'Good morning.'" But I loved it. I love bringing playfulness into the workplace. I think that's so important because I worked in, me and my coworkers, it was a stressful work environment. And we had a lot of deadlines and a lot of responsibility, and there was a lot on the line every single day. So anytime we could bring playfulness into the workplace, that was just so helpful, even if it was just a temporary reprieve. And it just reminds us too that we're all human beings. So if you didn't know by now, you would have known by just the title of this episode. I wanted to talk today about managing working in a stressful work environment. This is actually one of the top topics that I get asked to facilitate on when it comes to stress management. It's usually a company that calls me and says, "Can you facilitate a stress management workshop in the workplace?" But here's the thing about me and my workshops. My workshops are not about coming up with organizational plans or about time management. Mine are about coming at it from an individual level, because I truly believe that when we work at this stuff at an individual level, instead of always waiting for it to come from the top and for them to tell us what to do and how to be a cohesive team, we become the change. We become the change, and that is so important. Nothing will change. Nothing can change if we ourselves are not willing to change. Nothing can change if we are waiting for other people to change before we change. This is actually how I got dubbed the contagiously positive girl. I think for the most part, everyone has heard this story, so I'll tell it really, really quickly. We were working on a really stressful project. It was intense. It was a demolition of an entire block. And then we were going to rebuild on that block, retail on the bottom, and then three condominiums, three high rises on top of that. So it was coming in phases, and it was a 5-year project. I believe it ended up being more than 5 years. I left in 5 years because I moved from Ottawa to Saskatoon to support my husband in a career change, but that's not the point of the story. It was stressful, and the company had never done anything like this, nor did the owner who hired the general contracting firm that I worked for ever do anything like this. So it was new to everyone, so it brought up a lot of stress. It was a really stressful environment. There was always fires to put out because we didn't have past experience to go by to avoid problems that could have been avoided. We were able to do it by the time we got to phase two, but phase one was a lot. And I was working with a coach at the time to help me because I needed just to learn some new skills because I had been moving into more of a leadership role and I wasn't sure if I was really a good fit for that because it just seemed to go against my personality. I was really struggling with it. So I was working with this coach and I was thinking of maybe changing careers. I just didn't know at the time. I had hired this coach to help me gain some clarity and figure some stuff out. And she was giving me some stuff to do to help me manage the stress that I was experiencing in the workplace because I had a lot and I was heading towards that burnout. I eventually did get seriously burnt out, but once I started to really incorporate these tools and these practices on myself, it really started to have a domino effect on the team around me, which was incredible. And then one day, a guy that I worked with, one of the subcontractors, came up to me and he said, "Oh my God, you are so fucking contagiously positive." That's where the name contagiously positive comes from. So I'm not going to go through all of the practices here. I go through most every single one of my practices in my 3-hour workshop, Emotional Management, which is an inside look at what stress can do to us when we have so many external stressors. So it is full in that workshop. You can access everything there. The link for that is in the show notes. But I am going to share some of my top ones for you here that I think will really, really help you. So the workplace is a place that we spend, 8+ hours a day in. So I know that pre-contagiously positive, when I was working in the general contracting firm, for this general contracting firm for 10 years, it was rare that I only worked an 8-hour day. Like, it had to be a conscious choice to actually leave on that 8-hour mark. For the most part, it's 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours. And in that field, construction can feel like a constant reactionary industry because it's very masculine, it's very fast-paced, it's very intense, it's sometimes includes a lot of conflict because there's a lot of money involved, which brings up some conflict and a lot of emotions. It's high energy, it's high stress on the good and the bad, right? So this is like not just talking that this is all negative. I'm just saying, along with it being, you know, a very rewarding industry, even on the good days, it's still high energy, it's still fast paced, it's still intense, it's still masculine, it's still high stress. So that can create a lot of stress. And that's so important to note here, that good or bad, stress is stress, and our bodies can only take so much. Which is why, no matter what it is that you're experiencing right now in the workplace, when I say managing a stressful work environment, I don't just mean if you're really struggling at work and everybody's toxic and everyone's negative and, you know, like, I'm talking about just being in an environment that puts a lot of stress on you physically, mentally, and emotionally, good or bad. These tools and these practices are for both. So if you're working in an environment that is this, I think this will be really beneficial for you. And what I want you to know is, I don't like to just share things that are just helpful for you. I like for you to know, like, really take this in, that whatever you do for yourself has a ripple effect to those around you. So this is for everybody. everybody, this will be helpful for everybody. So let's get in to the tips. The first practice is getting prepared, being proactive instead of reactive. So the examples that I'm going to use here are from when I was in the construction industry, because honestly, I don't really feel like the business that I have now is stressful. I do still incorporate a lot of these practices into my business, but I so love what I do every single day, even though sometimes it brings up some stress. So that's why the examples I'm using are from my construction, my 10-year construction experience, and from the workshops that I facilitate. But what I want you to know is they're 100% transferable to your everyday life, to your workplace, whatever it is that you do, even if you're a solo entrepreneur. So one of the things that construction taught me is the importance of being proactive instead of reactive. This is so important to our stress levels. It's not fun. It's not fun or productive to be spending an entire day where all you're doing is putting out fires, especially when they could have been avoided or at the very least not have spread if we had just taken a few moments of pause to think about being proactive instead of being in a reactionary state all day. I learned this the hard way. But that I'm so glad that I did learn it. And that's really all that matters. Don't worry about all the things you didn't know before. We don't know what we don't know until we know it. Now we get to put this stuff into practice now. All that matters is that I learned it and I was able to use this in my old career, and it was the most amazing tool and skill that I could take when I became an entrepreneur. What I see so often happen when I do workshops, when I facilitate a corporate workshop, is that most of their days are being spent in a reactionary state. And that happens because we're just not prepared. So the more proactive you can be, the less stressful it's going to feel when you do need to react. And this is so important to note here. This isn't to say that nothing is ever going to happen that you have to react to. Of course it is. But the more proactive you can be, the more you can plan for, the easier it will be to solve the problems when they do come up, because you're going to have the mental, emotional, and physical bandwidth to do so. So what can happen is, when we're not being proactive, is we're spending the entire day putting out fires or working on a to-do list that isn't really set up to be proactive. And let me tell you what I mean by that. What I recommend here for getting prepared is a simple practice to start doing this. And you can take this bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'll give you some examples of that as well. So the best place to start this practice is ask yourself every single day, what absolutely has to get done today? That is your number one to-do list. What will keep you up at night if you don't get it done today? Who is going to call you constantly or bring the rain of fire down on you because they've been waiting for something that you keep promising to do or send to them, whatever it may be? Okay? Every single day you do this. When you get to work in the morning, that's the thing that you do. If you can add time blocks to it, then by all means. But those are the first things you're going to do first thing in the morning. Do not be afraid to tell a coworker, if this is not an emergency, if the building's not on fire, I need 1 hour, and then, so from 11 to 12, I need to do this task. I'll be right with you at noon, right with you at noon. Work on setting those boundaries, because that's another act of being proactive. Okay, spreading this out even further, whether it be for the week ahead or the month ahead, I want you to put things on a list that have to get done. So I want you to put together a list of must get done with the dates and make those your priority. So if you spread it out in a week or you spread it out for the month, when you sit down at your desk, I don't recommend doing this in the morning, actually. I recommend doing this before you leave for work so that when you get in the morning, it's already done. But if you don't do that, that's fine. Just do it first thing in the morning. So that when you sit down to make your list for the next day or for that day, you can say, okay, what absolutely has to get done today? And you can look at that other list and then you can add it onto your daily list. The other list is on a whole separate page. What you're looking at in that moment is just what has to get done today. Now, it can be on your laptop where it's just on your main screen. It can be on a piece of paper. Do whatever it is that you want to do. I am telling you, this is a game changer. There are a million time management workshops you can take. There are so many time management tools that you can put together that will take you hours to plug stuff in. But I'm telling you right now, this is the easiest, most simplistic thing you can do. And it is such a game changer. This has to get done today, no matter what. I have a deadline. So where should your focus go? How does this affect your stress levels? It is not a good place to be when you have a deadline at 2 and at 1 o'clock you look at your list and you're like, oh shit, I forgot all about that. And now you're trying to get it done and now you're rushing. Your adrenaline is pumping. Your armpits are sweating. You are like in a panic and you're thinking, I'm not going to be able to get this done. Or you have to disappoint the other person that needed it done, that you had to give it to. Game changer. So that's the first practice that I would highly encourage you to do. And honestly, it feels so good to take that pen and scratch it off your list, especially the big things. What will keep you up at night if you don't do it today? Do that thing. Okay. Practice number 2. The way that I look at stress and the way that I teach stress is from the inside out. So the next practice is calming your nervous system. Oh, wait, no, I want to, okay, sorry. We're backing the truck up. Let's go back to number 1. I want to expand on this even more because there was something else that I wanted to add here. These things for being proactive instead of reactive. So what we did when we finished the first high rise, the first 10 story high rise, we sat down together as a team. We sat down together and we went through every single problem that happened in phase 1. And then we put the solution beside the problem, and that was our proactive plan for phase 2 so that we could avoid the problem from even happening. So we took that to an even larger scale. So being proactive isn't just about managing what you're doing in the day. It can also be how you manage the next project, if you will, the next client, the next task. Think about all the things that went wrong in the first place, what you could have done to avoid it, what solution really helped, and that is your proactive plan for the next one. So that is so, so helpful. Really, really helpful. All right, number 2, calm your nervous system. As I mentioned at the beginning, it's really, really hard on your body to be in a constant state of stress. Again, even the good adrenaline kind. Your body doesn't know the difference, and that's what's really important here. It just knows it's under stress, right? So your cortisol levels are rising, your heart is pumping, your armpits are sweaty again, your mind is running 100 miles per hour. You might even feel like you're jittery, like you had too much coffee. Adrenaline, good or bad, stress, good or bad, will do that to you. And I know what you're thinking. I thrive in high stress situations, but Lorianne, I thrive in high stress situations. Every time I do a workshop, there's always someone who lifts their hand, usually multiple people, and they're like, I thrive in high stress situations. Most of the workshops that I do are in the construction industry because of my experience. So I'm like, I get it. You don't thrive in high stress situations. Your work is literally a high stress situation. So that's never going to go away, because that industry, like many industries, are just intense. High impact on mentally, physically, emotionally. Like, there's so much to do. Regardless if you thrive, regardless if you think you do super well, you're a superstar, and you are, it doesn't matter. Eventually, this takes its toll on you, and not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, and that will eventually make it harder to react or respond to stressors in a proactive, problem-solving, solution-based, positive way. And what ends up happening is it makes the problems that you're reacting to seem like massive mountains to overcome. And then you begin to experience the feeling of burnout from the overwhelm and the frustration. I don't care who you are, even if you thrive, no one's body can be in a constant 24-hour state of stress day in and day out for the rest of their lives. So a simple tool, and this again comes back to being proactive. We're not catching ourselves in the moments when we're feeling our stress. We're trying to catch ourselves before it even occurs, because that's going to help us with our daily tasks. That's going to help us mentally. That's going to help us emotionally. That's going to help us physically. That's going to help us be better problem solvers. That's going to keep us more positive, more optimistic. Like, it's going to help us be more solution-based. This is just going to help. You're going to be so productive all day if you just take a few moments every day to take little mini breaks to calm your nervous system. All you need to do here is just find a quiet spot somewhere, whether it's in the office, in a bathroom stall, whether it's you have to leave the office and just go outside for a moment, whether you have to shut your door and lock your door for a moment, if you have an office environment where you can do that, whether you have to go sit in your car. I don't care where you go, the place doesn't matter. All you need is a quiet spot where you're going to spend 2 to 5 minutes. That's it. 2 to 5 minutes to do a breathing technique. You are going to take a deep breath in, count to five. You're going to hold for a moment, and then you're going to breathe out for a count to five. You're going to set a timer, and you are going to repeat this for 2 to 5 minutes. You choose. Start for 2 minutes. If your body feels relaxed, great, move on, go back to your office, do your thing. If you need more time and your body doesn't feel relaxed, you still feel a little jittery, you still feel like, no, I'm not ready to go, set your timer for another 2 to 3 minutes and just keep doing this breathing technique until you feel your body relax. So, deep breath in, count to five, hold for a moment, breathe out for a count to five. Super, super simple. Set the timer and do this until your body relaxes. And I guarantee you 2 to 5 minutes, just a few times a day, will make such a huge difference. Oh, I cannot recommend this enough. I cannot recommend this enough. When I was working on the construction site, I remember the first phase was the hardest because it was so new. And when we got the service elevator, I used to take the service elevator up and I would ride it 10 floors up, because the service elevator is always so slow and it's the temporary elevator. And then I would ride it 10 floors down and I would do this breathing technique. Before I did this, I used to actually walk all the way up 10 floors and I would go to the roof of the building. This ended up being a place where a few of the coworkers that I worked with, we would go to the roof and we would do this. I would step off the elevator, or I would come down from the roof, and I would be ready for the next task ahead. And what I love about this simple practice is, one, it only takes 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes, whatever, 10 minutes if you include having to like walk away and go somewhere else. But we all need to be doing, you have 10 minutes. You need these 10 minutes. It's necessary. This is a really great way to take a moment before reacting or responding to anything in a way that may compound a problem that has occurred, or that may add fuel to an already burning fire. Okay, before I react, I'm going to take 2 to 5 minutes to respond so that I'm not responding from a reactionary emotional state. I'm actually being proactive about taking a moment before I respond to this so that I can respond in a way that comes from a solution-based mindset. This is amazing. I still do this breathing exercise. I don't do it every day, but I do this after every client call. During breaks when I'm facilitating a workshop, I will do this during the break. So I will do it before I facilitate. I will do it during the breaks. And then I will do it when I get into the car after the end of the day, or I will do it when I feel stress levels rise up over a problem I'm trying to solve. And I don't just do this for my professional life. I do this in my personal life as well, because it's the easiest tool and I could literally do it anywhere. I've even had moments where I'm like driving to do errands and traffic was really bad, or someone cut me off and it was just like a really stressful drive. Maybe the weather was bad. And when I get to the parking lot, I will do this before I get out of the car and go in to the grocery store, for example. All you're doing is just relaxing your body so that you can remind your body, listen, I don't need your stress response right now. I don't need my armpits to sweat. Thank you so much, but I'm good. I don't need the jitters. I don't need to be in an angry, emotional, irritable state right now. I'm good. I've got it. You're just telling your body that, okay, we're good. I've got you. I've got your back. I'm going to calm you down before you go into like a fight or flight. That's it. This is also really good for problem solving, because I know when I'm stuck on a problem and I can't figure something out, the moment I step away from the problem and like go for a walk or do a different task, it's like instantly it comes into my mind, the solution, the thing, I remember what I forgot. So it's a really great way to step away from the stressor and gain just a little bit more clarity before moving on to that next thing. It's really difficult to get that clarity when all you're doing is focusing on the problem, and then your mind becomes so overwhelmed that a solution actually can't come through. So anytime you feel worked up, just go and take that breather. But remember, it's better to be proactive, not reactive. So try to schedule some of these mini breaks into your day. Try to start one off in the morning, do another one like a couple, maybe even every 3 hours. Try to schedule this in every 3 hours where you take these little mini breaks. Number 3, pay attention to what your strengths and weaknesses are, and pay attention to what your team's strengths and weaknesses are, your coworkers, whoever it is that you're working with. So when you're triggered by an external stressor, or when you can't seem to solve a problem that just keeps continuously coming up, or there's tasks that you're doing regularly that just seem to really be draining you, I want you to explore why. Because often what I see when I'm facilitating workshops and we do this exercise together is we start to see patterns. There's things that are causing people stress because they're spending the majority of their time at work. Their to-do list, their tasks, their job description is them working from their weaknesses, the things that don't light them up at all, that are not their strengths. And they're not focusing anything on their actual own unique strengths and gifts. Listen, everyone has strengths. Everyone has weaknesses based on their own unique personalities. Everyone has a gift that just comes really easy to them, or that's really challenging for them to do. And I see this in work environments so often, where someone is being put into a role or being given tasks all the time where they spend the majority of their efforts and their time and their energy from their weaknesses, and they never get a chance to actually showcase their strengths, which is just their unique gift. And this is incredibly stressful, and it creates a stressful work environment, and it creates a lot of stress in you, inside you, mentally and emotionally and physically, because it's so draining, because it takes you so much effort. And then this has a domino effect on those around you as well, because you're just never able to showcase, and then you end up showcase your strengths, and you just start to feel resentful, and you're a little bit irritable throughout the day, especially when you spend 8+ hours a day doing these things. And then it just ends up feeling like this constant uphill battle that's just taking all your mental and emotional energy, and you're like, oh my God, I can't do this another day. I'm done. I can't do this another day. So what I want you to do is, or you don't have to do this, but I encourage you to do this. If we were in a workshop together in person, I would make you do this. Make a list of everything that you're you're a rock star. I am a rock star at doing this. Like, this comes so easily to me. I want you to list out all those things. So I want you to think about your current job, the tasks that you do. Think about all the tasks that you have done that just come really easily to you. When you do them, you're a rock star. What do you love doing that makes you feel so energized when you get to do it? This is your strength. This is where your unique gifts lie. And when you look at this list, is this the majority? Is this what you're spending the majority of your days doing? If not, this is a really good opportunity to work together with your company, because someone else, listen, we're going to do another list. The stuff that are your, like, that drain you, that are your like weakest areas, it's someone else's strengths. So this is a really good opportunity for the team as a company, switch up those job descriptions, so that people are working from their strengths. This is so, so helpful. That's why I love doing this in the workplace, because when people share, here are my weaknesses, here are my gifts, other people raise their hands and they're like, oh my God, I'll take that on. I am so good at that. I would love to be doing that. I have been wanting to do that forever. I didn't think that was an option. And then sort of the job descriptions shift, and talk about cohesive team. Like, this is just such a beautiful way to manage working in a stressful environment. So your next list is to make a list of all the things that seem to take you so, like, it's just so much effort, right? Like, it uses all your energy and mental bandwidth to do these things. These are the weak points. This is not where your gifts lie. They can be strengthened. Everything can be strengthened. But do you really want to strengthen these? Something that I always say, because I did this a lot, I used to just take on any task, and I ended up doing a lot of things that I didn't enjoy doing, but I got stuck doing them because people were like, but you're so good at it. And I'm like, I'm actually not really good at it. It takes everything, every ounce of my mental bandwidth to do this. So my new thing became, that I teach now, is just because you can do it doesn't mean you are the right person to be doing it. Because we don't need people in a work environment who are all working from a limited mental bandwidth, because all they're doing is focusing on things that are like super draining to them because it's not their unique gift. Listen, someone else is better fitted for those tasks that drain you. This is why I really highly recommend that this is done in a team environment where everyone has the opportunity to do this. So my goodness, imagine bringing this to your bosses. Or if you are the boss, imagine doing this where you sit down, Mike, I'm giving this to you. Take this exercise right now and bring this into your work environment and have everyone do this and switch tasks if you have to. Switch around. Even if you have to switch up a job description, switch it around. Here are all the strengths. Again, everything can be strengthened, but do you really want to? Okay? Your weakness is someone else's strength, and vice versa. A really good tool for this, I'm just going to give you an additional resource because I absolutely love this. There were a lot of things that Myers-Briggs, so my best friend Jolene Watson is the owner of Clarity Coaching and Development, and she is one of the most brilliant Myers-Briggs practitioners that I know. She can literally pick someone's type out in like minutes of having conversations with them. This has been pure magic for me to see, just based on my type, my biggest strengths and my biggest weaknesses and tools and practices to help me get through the stress, if you will, from the things that I'm weakest at when I have to do them. So this is really, really helpful. Knowing where my strengths lie, I mean, that's incredible. But having an understanding of where our weaknesses are, that's a game changer because it can help you avoid, manage, or minimize stress. So this is a game changer. So do this exercise with yourself. And if you can, bring this to the office and have everyone do this and just watch things change. So this is one of those ones that is good for you and has a domino effect on everyone in the workplace if everyone does this practice. Okay, let's do one more. I'm watching the time here. I wanted to keep this to about 40, 45 minutes. So let's do one more. Let's do an end of day release. I love this practice. And it's funny, like, even though I no longer work in that stressful environment, I still do this even today. And even in other podcasts, when I've talked, I've had Jolene Watson on the podcast before, and we've talked about things like this. My desk at the end of the day, I always do this end of day release, is basically what I'm saying. So I think this is so important because it helps us to shut down all the tabs in our brain. At the end of each day, prepare for the next day. So what I will do after I record this podcast, because it's almost 4 p.m., I'm ending the day. I'm heading out with my girlfriend for a nice girls' night. I am going to make sure my desk is fully cleaned up. I'm going to make a quick list of the things that I want to do first thing tomorrow morning when I sit down at my desk. And I'm going to just shut down all those tabs, any tabs that I have open, so that then when I step away from my desk, I'm just away. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're just going to clean up your desk. You're going to get organized so everything is ready for you the next day. Put your pens away, your papers, organize everything, get that little must-do list done. Then what I want you to do is I want you to go into your inbox from your email or your text, whatever it is, and I want you to send any messages that are only going to take a couple of minutes. So take about, maybe leave about 20 minutes at the end of the day to just get some of those micro tasks off your to-do list. And then, of course, make your must-do list that needs to get done first thing the next day. If you have any questions that need more clarification before you start a task, make a list of all those and include a name beside each one of who you're going to need to contact tomorrow. That's it. And then you shut down your computer, shut down the open tabs in your brain. It helps you prepare to leave work at work. It calms your nervous system. And it also tells yourself, your mental self, your emotional self, your physical self, oh, okay. Yeah, we did a lot today. We still have a lot to do, but we are ready to get a good start at it tomorrow morning. And then I'm going to take this, expand this even further. Just before you leave your office, do that 2 to 5 minute breathing exercise to calm your nervous system. Because here's why this is so important. You were probably leaving work to go home, and now you have all those personal to-do list things to tackle. So this is a really good way to start off as calm, physically calm, mentally calm, emotionally calm, as much as you can as possible before you enter your home and speak to your spouse or speak to your children. This is a really beautiful practice. You can do this in the driveway before you walk in even. Whatever it is, just make before you walk into your home and interact with another person that has nothing to do with work, interact with your personal life and that personal to-do list that we all have to tackle when work is done, 2 to 5 minute breathing exercise that I already mentioned. Breathe in for 5, out for 5. Okay, that's it. Those are some of the things that you can put into practice right away to manage a stressful work environment. Good or bad stress, stress is stress. This is all about being proactive. As you could see, there was a huge theme here. This wasn't a podcast or a share about managing stress when it's already here. Stress is going to happen. We're always going to have external stressors that cause us stress. What we're trying to do is be proactive and not add stress to our lives that didn't need to be there in the first place, so that then we can react to those external stressors in a more positive way, so that it doesn't become internal stress that we take up permanent residence in. So stress is the stuff that happens inside, mental, emotional, physical response to external stressors. So the more we can prepare and be proactive for those external stressors, the more we're taking care of our mental, emotional, and physical well-being. Will stressors still occur? Yes. Will you still have stressful days where your mental, emotional, and physical bandwidth just feels like it's getting depleted? Of course. Of course. We're human beings. Of course. But this will help. I promise. So have an amazing day wherever you are in the world, whatever your experience is right now. I want you to know this very important thing. You are good enough. You have always been good enough, and you will always be good enough. None of these practices, none of this work, nothing that I share is ever to make you be a perfect little happy robot. You are a human being. None of these will ever be done perfectly. You're always going to have moments where things come up. But the wonderful thing about that is you have these tools to turn to when they do come up, not just in this episode with these practices, but in all of the other episodes that came before this as well, with all of the tools and practices in there as well. So again, have an amazing day, and I will see you back here next time. Bye, everyone.